I asked if Amy used his phone since hers was broke and if he could get any of the information off of his phone of who she called. He said that he didn't have the phone anymore because it broke at work. He didn't even have a job that I found out from the police. And what else? Just stupid things. Just like, why would you even say that?
Do you keep in touch with him still?
No, they told me not to contact him when they got involved, so I never did. But he deactivated all his accounts and everything. But some of the things I found out later, they don't make sense. He said that she left on the 20th with this African-American male in an older white Lexus to go buy drugs. However, the police tell me that she used her Facebook account to like one of her friend's pictures on the 24th, a week later, from his using his Wi-Fi. Also, February, he uses her food stamp card in North Braddock, he tries to use it, but he doesn't have the PIN number. He's caught on video using it.
That's definitely a red flag. That wasn't enough to get the police to be able to get a warrant.
They said it's too late. It's too late. They said 2 months was too late to do anything about anything. Well, now it's 2 years.
That tells me a lot. If he tried to use her food stamp card, I guess he didn't have to show proof of ID or anything. But I know you do have to have a PIN number. Now, tell me about when she left. You said you talked to her the 4th. So you spoke to her, 3 weeks before she left?
It was on Messenger.
Did she seem erratic?
She seemed like she was on drugs. And she was depressed. And I will admit that. And the one thing he said to me was he was afraid that she was going to commit suicide. And that's why he didn't want her to go get drugs. My question is, on the 24th, he deactivated his Facebook account, so I can't confirm this, but on the 24th, we were looking for Amy on Facebook, and we were writing, Amy, where are you? Let us know where you are. Let us know you're okay. At the same time, he's writing on her page that you're dead to me. You stole my wallet. And on the same day, she's using his Wi-Fi to like a picture of her friend. So she's at his place, and he's writing, you're dead to me, and we're looking for her, and he didn't see that.
Do you think that it's most likely that your niece is no longer alive? Is that?
Oh, yeah. I don't think she left that house alive.
Welcome to the Catch My Killer podcast. Thank you for listening. My name is Mark. Since 2015, I have written a weekly column about unsolved homicides and true crime for the Claremont Sun newspaper in Ohio. Before I discuss this week's episode, I would like to ask for your support. I'm looking for listeners to help support the podcast by buying me one $5 cup of coffee every month. This will help cover costs associated with producing a successful podcast. If you can help, please visit catchmykiller.com and click on the donate link or on the buy me a coffee link. And if you cannot donate to the podcast, you can still help by sharing these stories with your friends and families through word of mouth and social media. And that's enough of the coffee business. This week's story is about a 39-year-old woman from Pennsylvania named Amy Lee Bracken, who was last seen on January 17th, 2020. She had gotten a friend to give her a ride to North Braddock, Pennsylvania, where she planned to meet a man that she had met online. For this podcast episode, I will refrain from naming him. However, if you do some online research, you can find his identity. You will also learn that he has a criminal past. After speaking to this man online for a few months, Amy was ready to meet him in person. Had she known the depth of his criminal history, she may not have ever wanted to meet him. Amy was meeting him for the first time. She brought along a backpack with her belongings. Furthermore, She didn't have her cell phone because it had broken a few days earlier and she hadn't replaced it. After her family reported her missing, authorities spoke to the man that she had met online. According to him, he and Amy had met and spent the weekend together, but she left to purchase drugs in the company of a black man driving a white Lexus with Ohio license plates. After that, she's never been seen again. Her abrupt departure, or lack of communication with her family, was uncharacteristic. After her disappearance, the man she met online fraudulently attempted to use her food stamp card. However, he couldn't because he didn't have the PIN number. I found this to be highly suspicious, as would anyone else. But apparently, it wasn't suspicious enough to warrant a search of his home. For this story, I spoke to Diane Cielo, who is Amy's aunt. She told me that the family believes that after Amy met with her date, she never left his home alive. She told me that the family believes that after Amy met with her date, she never left his home alive. And now on with the story of Amy Lee Bracken, as told by her Aunt Diane.
Amy's mom was my sister, and she died about 25 years ago. Amy was only 16 when she died, and Amy has a sibling, Chad, and he was 13 when his mom died, so it was just the two of them. And Amy, as she got older, she got into trouble. I think she had issues with bad checks. She stole some things, which ended up in some fines, which ended up in jail time, which ended up in some more fines. Then she got into drugs. So there were a lot of problems that escalated after her teenage years. So then we get up to 2020. Amy had been clean for about 10 years. She had been not using. It would have been the fall of 2019. She had relapsed. And she hadn't admitted that she relapsed, but we were all suspecting that she relapsed. And she lived in Somerset, and her father lives in Somerset. She didn't live with her father, but she lived with a roommate in Somerset. Her brother lives in Punxsutawney. I live in Punxsutawney. So we're separated. It's quite a distance away from each other.
When she went off the rails, do you think a lot of it had to do with the loss of her
mother? Amy was living the lifestyle of somebody who never got out of her teenage years. She lived a transient lifestyle. She didn't want to settle down. She never could hold down a job. I believe there were some undiagnosed or at least untreated mental health issues going on. She had been in jail off and on. I know one time it was for, I believe, some drug paraphernalia. I'm not sure if drugs themselves. But I know most of the time that she went to jail were for the unpaid fines due to her not returning CDs that she had taken from a girl that had given them to her, but she didn't give them back. So basically she stole them. So that ended up in her going to jail at a young age. She never ended up getting any mental health treatment. She would get offered treatment in jail, or when she would get out of jail, she would get services or whatever, and then she just wouldn't go. So that was the pattern over the years of how things would go. She never did anything to harm anyone. However, it was always herself. There was never anyone that she would harm but herself. Then in the fall of 2019, it may have been earlier, but I started to notice a difference. In the fall, she was talking real fast. There was just a difference. I thought maybe she was doing some drugs. And then her brother said, her dad thought maybe she had relapsed. The last time I had talked with her was on Messenger, January 4th. Then around, I'd say, the 24th, her brother asked if we had seen her, if anybody had talked to her, and I hadn't, and other people had commented they had. Apparently, the week before, her dad said she wanted to go down to Pittsburgh. She had lied, said she wanted to go down for something else. She wanted to go meet some guy that she had met on the internet, and she ended up getting a ride to go down and meet this man. He did call the police after Amy ended up missing and said, hey, I'm the one that took her. She had posted on, it was a group page, Pay It Forward Johnstown or something. she told this person that she needed a ride to the hospital, but he ended up taking her down and dropping her off at this guy's house. And this is how we found out who this guy was. Not only through that, but this guy had also posted a couple of things on her page, like, you stole my wallet, you're dead to me. So then we started figuring out, hey, she must have went with this guy.
When you said that she supposedly stole a wallet, whose wallet did she steal? The guy who dropped her off or the guy that she went to go see?
The guy that she went to go see. So she had told her dad that she was going down there to look for a job. She had told the guy that was giving her a ride that she was going to the hospital to visit her brother. But she was really going to meet this guy that she had been talking to on the internet for a few months.
So she had never met him in person before then?
No.
First, I'm curious as to why he wouldn't have come up to see her, why he had her come down to see him. Did he not?
Because she was living with a roommate and he had his own place. That would be my suspicions. But she was living in a house. I think she had a roommate or two in there. So the guy did tell the police, yes, I'm the one that I don't even know who he is, but he dropped her off and he volunteered and went to the police and said, I took her, gave the address where he took her and everything. Well, the police questioned this guy. So when we noticed that she had been gone, her dad noticed, like, after a week, hey, Amy hadn't gotten in touch with us. She didn't have a phone when she left because her phone had broke like a few days before. So she didn't have a phone, but she would have gotten in touch with me somehow. She would have called me been a week. So we started like on the 24th, hey, anybody seen Amy? No one had seen her. We started thinking maybe we should contact the police. So her dad on Monday went to the police station in Somerset where she lives and told them she was missing. And they said, you know, she's been in jail, but they knew her. So they were like, just give it a little bit. So they didn't file a report. I don't think they ended up filing a report until February 14th.
And this was how long was this after she disappeared in January? So they were filing
January 17th. Later. To February 14th.
So they waited almost 28 days.
It gets worse. So because they were in Somerset County and she disappeared in Allegheny County, they weren't permitted to go to Allegheny County and ask questions to the guy who saw her. And they were asking the police in that area to go and ask him questions. But they said that every time they went by, he wouldn't answer the door. So this went on for weeks. And then finally, they were like, we're going to transfer it to the Braddock Police Department, which is where she disappeared from. She disappeared from North Braddock, which is right in Pittsburgh. So they transfer it to the Braddock Police. So another couple weeks go by and they haven't done anything. And by this time, we're like pulling our hair out and we're calling the Somerset Police. We're like, hey, she's probably in the river somewhere by now. Everything's gone. Can't you do something? So they transferred it to the Allegheny County Homicide. So they get involved. They go to question him. They do get a hold of him, ask him if they can come in the house. And he says, no, his house is dirty. I said, okay. They ask him to come down to the station. And he comes down a day or so later. And they do a polygraph and he passes it. And before they get involved, however, I do get to talk to him on Facebook Messenger. And some of the things that he tells me are total lies, such as I ask if Amy used his phone since hers was broke and if he could get any of the information off of his phone of who she called. He said that he didn't have the phone anymore because it broke at work. He didn't even have a job that I found out from the police. And what else? Just stupid things. Just like, why would you even say that?
Do you keep in touch with him still?
No, they told me not to contact him when they got involved. So I never did. But he deactivated all his accounts and everything. But some of the things I found out later, they don't make sense. He said that she left on the 20th with this African-American male in an older white Lexus to go buy drugs. However, the police tell me that she used her Facebook account to like one of her friend's pictures on the 24th, a week later, from his using his Wi-Fi. Also, February, he uses her food stamp card in North Braddock. He tries to use it, but he doesn't have the PIN number. He's caught on video using it.
That's definitely a red flag. That wasn't enough to get the police to be able to get a warrant.
They said it's too late. It's too late. They said 2 months was too late to do anything about anything. Well, now it's 2 years.
That tells me a lot. If he tried to use her food stamp card, I guess he didn't have to show proof of ID or anything. But I know you do have to have a PIN number. Now, tell me about when she left. You said you talked to her the 4th, so you spoke to her, 3 weeks before she left?
Yeah, it was on Messenger.
Did she seem erratic?
She seemed like she was on drugs, and she was depressed, and I will admit that. And the one thing he said to me was he was afraid that she was going to commit suicide, and that's why he didn't want her to go get drugs. My question is, on the 24th, he deactivated his Facebook account, so I can't confirm this, but on the 24th, we were looking for Amy on Facebook, and we were writing, Amy, where are you? Let us know where you are. Let us know you're okay. At the same time, he's writing on her page that you're dead to me. You stole my wallet. And on the same day, she's using his Wi-Fi to like a picture of her friend. So she's at his place, and he's writing, you're dead to me, and we're looking for her, and he didn't see that.
Now, what about the roommates? Have you spoken to the roommates? Do they know this guy? Do they know anything?
No, they don't know him. The roommates are from Somerset, which is like a few hour drive away from where Amy went to go see this guy.
So they don't know anything?
Mm-mm.
Now, did Amy have any kids or anything?
No.
Does she have nothing? So do you think that it's possible that she just ran off somewhere?
No, she would have never done that because she's been in trouble before. And even the Somerset officer said, hey, I've come to pick Amy up and she's never given me any trouble. She's never been in that kind of trouble where she's hurt somebody. Her troubles have always been like unpaid fines. She would not run. And they knew where she lived. And I don't know if she was in trouble. I think that they knew exactly where she lived in Somerset. She wasn't hiding. The officer was like, I don't see that happening either. She wasn't afraid of us for any reason. And her dad was having surgery that weekend or the next weekend, so she wouldn't have just taken off.
Was she close to her dad?
Yes, very close. Since her mom died, yeah.
Do you think that it's most likely that your niece is no longer alive?
Yeah, I don't think she left that house alive. And I keep saying my niece is transient. And I said this to the police. Amy never left without her backpack. And the only money she had was her food stamp card. She couldn't keep a job. Her leaving without that was her money.
So you're saying she wouldn't have left without that food stamp card?
No. And even my nephew said, no matter what, wherever she went, when she went up to his house to stay, even if she went to the convenience store, she put her backpack on. That's all she had. Everything she owned went in her backpack. So why would you leave a food stamp card behind?
It's almost like women, they don't leave their purses behind ever, and they don't Mm-mm. leave their cell phones behind either. Most people would never leave, unless it's broken. But yeah, the food stamp card is very important.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but the dates don't add up. You can't be in two places. You can't be there. If he's there saying you're dead to me, how can she be there?
Right.
Like stealing his wallet at the same time.
Yeah, she probably is not going to be there if that's the case.
And she didn't have a phone. If she's using his Wi-Fi, whose phone is she using at his residence? Well, he's saying you're dead to me. It was somebody else pretending to be her to make it look like. And even though his Facebook was deactivated, I did check his Instagram, and he was absent between the 14th and the 24th, and all of a sudden active on the 24th, and that's when she was all of a sudden liked something and from his house, and there was this activity. So between some dates, there was nothing, something happened, and nobody was doing anything.
Now, have you kept her page up?
No, I don't. I can't. I don't have access to it.
It might be a good idea for the family to keep her Facebook page up. So you never know. Somebody might
only
post
the police
there.
Have that.
Oh, I see. Now, what do you know about this guy? Tell me.
When I first learned who he was, I was upset because I saw that he had some arrests for stabbing in Pittsburgh the year before Amy disappeared, and then another assault. And then he assured me that that was self-defense or whatever, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, whatever. And the one happened when he was a juvenile. Oh, it was another stabbing. So he stabbed two people. One was a juvenile, one was last year. One was a self, or 2019, and one was self-defense, and one when he was a juvenile. And I was like, okay, if somebody would beat me up on the street, I don't know. I don't carry a knife, so I don't think I'd stab anybody, but that's just me. So I was like, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. A couple months ago, I was, we have PA court docket. You can look anybody up. You can look yourself up. I look myself up just to make sure I'm not having any crimes against me that I don't know about, because you just never know anymore. And I looked them up and I'm like, what? He had it for kidnapping. He had it for assault and battery. And they had it for conspiracy to commit some type of horrible, like, I can't even remember. It was like, conspiracy to commit some type of, I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. But I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And they told me that they didn't have enough to go in search his house.
That is puzzling. It's puzzling that he's even on the street.
He'll be on the streets until he kills a police officer's relative or something, because it seems to me that it's frustrating. It's just frustrating.
Now, you said he doesn't work. So how does he support himself?
I'm thinking he's probably on disability for drug addiction, because in Pennsylvania, that's a pretty popular route. I'm not sure how it is in other states. But
what's going on with the investigation?
Well, to be honest, my nephew's still on the fence. He's like, I don't know, Anthony, maybe she did go off with somebody in a white Lexus. And so he was on, I'm not sure what program he was on, but it said new people, and her name popped up. Like, you might want to add. And I had that happen to me on something too. I think it was Instagram or something, but it was just people you may know or something like that. But he gave it to them to have them check out. But, you know, I don't know if they'll check it out. But I think at one point they were supposed to take a cadaver dog up, and I don't know if that happened. I don't think anything happened. They don't communicate very much. And the last thing I had asked if they had gotten dentals for her, because there were two sets of remains found in Pittsburgh. And they hadn't called Chad or Amy's brother or her dad. So I just sent a message and I asked if they had Amy's dentals, and I didn't get a response. First, I sent a message because I found out through the grapevine that one of them was a female. So I asked if he thought it was Amy, and he sent me a message saying that preliminary, they didn't think it was, that it would have to be sent out for DNA. So I asked if they had gotten her dentals, because they wouldn't let me get any dentals. They needed a warrant. They needed an officer or a court or a judge to get her dentals. So I asked them to get them, and I asked if I sent them a message asking if they got dentals, and I didn't hear back.
When was the last time that you actually, or the family, have you ever had a sit down with them? Have you ever sat down with them at the police station and had a conversation about your niece?
I think the father, her father, they came to get DNA last year. And I think they asked if they wanted to declare her dead.
Who's asked that? Her dad?
The police had asked. They had asked me that too, and they had asked Chad.
Would you say?
Absolutely not.
That she's still listed just as missing persons.
Yeah.
So is it missing persons or is it homicide that's looking into her case?
Homicide. We don't have a missing persons in this area.
Oh,
it all goes to homicide.
Now, when's the last time you've actually spoke to anybody about the case?
Probably November.
So it's been a couple months.
Yeah.
Now, have you guys gone around and put up flyers or done any knocking on any doors or anything like that to ask if anybody had seen Amy or seen anything? Like gone to that guy's house and asked his neighbors if they ever saw her?
We were told to stay away from him. The police did go several months, you know, the Allegheny police, when they got it, which was a few months after she disappeared, they went to his next door neighbors, and I think they went to a few neighbors. They said they did go and check some of the abandoned, there's a lot of abandoned houses in that area. They did check some of the abandoned houses, nothing.
What about the guy that dropped her off? Are you guys all sure that he actually dropped her off? Has that ever been proven he did drop her off?
I would probably say yes. It would probably be a yes. She was there.
So the guy did admit that that she did show up at his house.
Oh, yeah, okay. She did show up, and he said she showed up on a Friday and said she left on a Monday morning.
And he said that she just left with some drug dealer. How did she get in touch with a drug dealer? She didn't have a phone.
On his.
So he let her use his phone to call the drug dealer.
Yeah. Yeah. And gave her the money.
Now, I'd be curious to see what's this drug dealer's phone number. And I'd like to see his phone.
Well, his phone broke.
Oh, that's right. That's what she said.
He got rid of it.
How convenient. Well, but still. Yeah. I would still think that you could still get his records and see who he dialed.
He had Wi-Fi calling through Xfinity, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I still think that's, you can trace it, though. You can track that. You can find out.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's technology.
Or
there's always a trace. There's always a trace.
Or he could have said she used Messenger.
But she didn't have a phone. She couldn't have used Messenger, could she? She didn't have a phone.
If she used his, but it would still be
right,
her, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah. So you would still see a trace of who he contacted on Messenger. So who was this drug dealer? It's been 2 years. I would think if I'm investigating this, that's one of the first things I'm doing. I'm saying, really?
Yeah.
So she didn't have a phone. She reached out to a drug dealer and you were so nice and paid for her drugs. I'd be like, how did she get in touch with this guy, this drug dealer? Did she do smoke signals? Oh, she used my phone. Well, then let's see. Give me the number then, because you have the number that she dialed, so we can contact this drug dealer.
And I saw all the messages were erased, but I don't know by who, unless they were erased by the person who owned the phone, which was him.
I think there's a way the police can still find out. Technology is amazing. It's amazing what they can do. Trust me, they can pull up those numbers. They can find all his numbers. And they can find his Messenger information too. I'm sure they can get that. So if she contacted a drug dealer, then it's on record if that actually happened. But since he mysteriously lost his phone.
But I don't think it did. And that's why they can't find it. So it's just his word again. Like,
right.
It's in thin air, just like she left in a white Lexus.
And he didn't get a plate number or anything, or he didn't go out
no.
and talk to the guy. See, now that's interesting in itself too, because. Mm-hmm. I've done a few other stories where I've talked to the family, and it's the same thing. As a matter of fact, one of the cases I interviewed a while ago, it was the same situation. She went out to eat with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend drove off, left with her, and then she was never seen again. And he says, well, I don't know what happened to her. She disappeared. I don't know where she went. Well, just recently, they found her car, and there was a body inside the car. And I followed the page, so I don't know. It hasn't been confirmed yet whether it was the missing woman. The family was all, oh, yeah, the guy was abusive. He killed her. But he must be sweating bullets now because they found the body in the car. So I'm waiting to hear good news that he's going to be arrested. But it just seems weird to me that when I hear cases like that where a guy will go, okay, now this is me. If I have a female friend with me, and I may not do it if it's a guy friend, but if it's a female and she tells me, well, some guy's going to just come get me. If I let you leave, I need to go out and speak to this dude. And then I'm going to take his license plate number down anyway, just in case something happens.
Well, not only that, when he saw us looking for her on Facebook, why didn't he say, hey, guys, she left with some guy. She was at my house and she left with some guy. He didn't say anything. I private messaged him when he got back to me, when the news crew showed up on his door.
So he didn't immediately.
That's when he got back to me. Yeah.
So like, it wasn't immediate that he contacted the family and said, "Hey, she took off."
It was when the news. It was when the news crew showed up on his door. Then he was like, "Oh my, she's missing. I didn't know anything about it." And I'm thinking, "You're friends with her. You didn't see us looking for her all over her page, liar." Yeah, there's just too many things that are just like, and I can't believe just because he passed a polygraph, that means nothing. It means nothing.
Right, because if you're a pathological liar.
And he's a big dope smoker.
Yeah, you can believe
that. Not that means anything, just because he's passed this polygraph that he's being honest. He was probably so stoned he didn't even know what he was doing.
And he won't allow the police to look in his house either.
Right.
So that, you know, that might be a telltale sign. What are you hiding?
Right.
Why can't they look in your house?
Yeah. I remember before he shut down his Facebook page, I didn't say anything to him, but every once in a while I was like looking at his page and he was on there smoking dope and doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, do the police see this? Because it's public. It's a public page.
Does he have a medical marijuana card? Do you have those in Pennsylvania?
Yes, he can. Well, but he was smoking. That's probably how he passed. He got so mellow and went down there and probably so easy. But then, so he gets rid of that page. Like, they tell me not to talk to him. So, you know, I don't bother him. I don't, like, stalk him or say anything or do anything. Or I'm trying to maintain my cool. You know what I mean? Because it's like, there's still that 2% part of me. Like, he could be innocent.
Based on her history, based on what you have told me, you probably cannot completely rule the idea out that she left with someone to buy drugs. That is a possibility.
No,
now, if you told me she was a Girl Scout with no criminal record, that might be a little more suspicious, but you said she has a record of doing this kind of stuff.
And Amy can be so frustrating, and I get that. Anybody that knows Amy knows she could be frustrating, and she's a good person. Like, she's not somebody that would be mean or hurtful or whatever. She's a good person, but she can be frustrating. But no one deserves anything like that. And our thoughts are maybe she had a drug overdose, but then we're like, what if she overdosed? Why wouldn't you just tell us? Like, what more happened? And I don't know if she was doing anything that she could have overdosed on, though. You know what I mean? Like, if it was heroin or if she was doing meth or what. Like, I don't know what the details of what was going on down there.
But you also said that he said she was dead to him because she stole his wallet.
Yes.
If she tried to take his money or steal from him and he caught her, there could have been an altercation.
Yes. And that she has done that in the past. And that's another thing that we thought. Like, he could have hurt her because of that. And she has done that. And bingo, that could have happened.
Right. But still,
yeah,
if he hurt her, he could have called 911.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that I don't know how they would charge it if he was just trying to get his money back or if they got an argument. I don't know how that works. But
well, with his violent history, I don't think it would take much for anything to set him off.
Well, he stabbed two people. You know, steal his money.
He has.
Well, that might have set him off, you know.
Chad, her brother, I didn't say this in the beginning, but her brother, he's in a wheelchair. He was paralyzed 5 years to the day that his mother died. That's just a sad thing.
Was he close to Amy?
I want to say that they were a lot closer when they were younger, but yeah, I guess they were close. Like, she still came up here to stay with him, like, for holidays and stuff. So I guess so.
How is he taking this? He hasn't seen his sister for 2 years. How's this affected him?
I think it's been really hard on him because he has a lot of health problems. And it's like just compounding them for both him and his dad. So for both of them, it's just, I'm Christian. I believe that Amy's not alive. She's in heaven. So I'm okay with that. And I think Chad still has a glimmer of hope that maybe she's out there. And they had mentioned sex trafficking before, but I just don't see that. I think Amy would find a way to get back. I think she would find a way. I don't think that was a scenario.
Now, do you have a Facebook page for her, for people to share tips or anything?
I started one. It's called Missing Amy Bracken, but I never really got too much going on it. I just share from mine. I just never had much time to get it started. So I've been just sharing from mine, and I never really got a lot of tips. Everything went dry. We never really got any tips, actually. Nothing. We had one person tell us that they got a call, or they contacted them. It was a friend of hers, Mike, said that she had contacted him probably via Facebook or something, asking him to pick her up in Pittsburgh. And he said he could in a couple days, but then he never heard from her again.
What police department is handling this? So if anybody does have a tip, who would they call?
It is Allegheny Homicide. I think it might be on that missing file that I sent to you.
Thank you for that information. Hopefully the right person will hear this podcast and have the courage to contact law enforcement. With that being said, my final question for you is, what would you say to anyone who could possibly have any kind of information about what happened to Amy? What would you say to that person or persons?
At this point, we just want to bring Amy home. We're not looking, you know, to find out what, where, when, how, why right now. We just want to bring her home. She's been missing 2 years. We just want her home. We want to bury her with her mother. She's always wanted that. So if you have any information, if you could get that to us, that would be great.
And that concludes the story of Amy Lee Bracken. Although law enforcement considers Amy a missing person, her family thinks differently. They think she was murdered and her body has been disposed of at an unknown site. Do you know what happened to Amy? If you know what happened to her, please report your tips to the Allegheny law enforcement officials at 412-473-1200. I will also include this information in the story notes. And if you are a parent, law enforcement official, friend, or relative seeking justice for an unsolved homicide case, please visit my website and complete the contact form, or contact me through Facebook. Thank you for listening.